Today is August 1st, 2002, and I am in the Special Collections Reading Room of Skillman Library with Liza Lucy, class of 1974. Thank you for being a participant.
Thanks.
First, can you tell me a little bit about your family, your childhood, and where you grew up?
Yes, I grew up in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania, which is the northernmost, easternmost corner of Pennsylvania, north and east of Scranton. It was a small town that I grew up in. My family had the town department store. We were one of a small number of Jewish families that lived in the area that had settled there in 1849, so a long time ago. I went to boarding school because the local high school was not particularly good, and I went to Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, Pennsylvania, which is next to Wilkes Barre. From there, I came to Lafayette. Got two younger brothers who went to Hampshire College, and my parents are still living at Holmesdale, Pennsylvania.
Can you describe the boarding school you attended?
Wyoming Seminary was a co-ed school, Methodist in affiliation. I'd say two-thirds of the students there were day students, and a third of us were boarders. I was a boarder. It was always co-education. And at least 10 of us from that class came to Lafayette. That's actually kind of interesting. It had a fair number of postgraduate men there who were there in order to spend some time before they came to Lafayette to play football. So that was the bulk of the 10 who came here. It was a fairly mediocre boarding school, nowhere near the class of either George School or Lawrenceville or places like that. But it had a good education. I made a lot of friends there, had a good education. I would not send my children there.
At what point during high school did you decide that you wanted to go on to college?
I always just wanted to go on to college. It was just not an issue. I was headed in that direction.
And how did your family feel about higher education in general, and especially for women?
Higher education was a given. Even my grandmother went to law school. So women were educated in my family. That's a fact.
Would you say that most of the females at the boarding school went on to college?
All. Yeah, we had 100% on to higher education. That was a very big source of pride for the school.
What was your process of finding and choosing schools to apply to like?
I knew I wanted a smallish liberal arts school. I depended on my teachers and advisors to indicate to me schools that would be good. I was very interested in going to Bucknell because that's where my father had gone. I was also interested in going to Kenyon, which is where my favorite professor had gone. And I applied to them, and I applied to Lafayette. I knew nothing about Lafayette except that they didn't require an essay on the application, so it was just a matter of sending $15 in an application. I thought that, well, that looked pretty easy, so I did it.
What role, if any, did co-education play in your applying to schools?
I don't think I would have considered an all-women school. I had been in a co-ed environment always, and it just didn't appeal to me. I like boys.
Why did you choose to come to Lafayette?
I got in. It actually was something I was considering to do for only a semester. I did not get accepted to Bucknell, which was my first choice. I did get accepted to go there for their second semester. So I could have started at Bucknell in January rather than September. So it was my feeling that I was going to spend a semester here and then transfer after a few months, or wait until my sophomore year and transfer. I also got into Kenyon, and I thought that would be a wonderful place to go, but at the time I was applying to schools, I was teaching skiing in the Poconos, and I didn't want to give up my weekend gig, so Lafayette made it possible for me to keep skiing, and I fell in love with it after the first few months, and there was no considering moving to Bucknell.
Before you got here, how did you feel about being in the first class of women?
I thought it was kind of exciting to be in the first class of women. I didn't see any downside to it. My very closest friend was going to Princeton and being in their first class women. In my class, this was a pretty normal thing. There were a lot of colleges going co-ed the year I was changing over. And you have to keep in mind also, this was the middle of the Vietnam War. And people were choosing schools for all kinds of odd reasons. Men just to be able to get a student deferment. Women because education was now more open to them. And so they were choosing schools for a huge variety of reasons. I guess I'm losing my train of thought here on that one. But.
Do you have any memories of what it was like the first day you moved in?
Yeah, I have a strong, strong memory. I remember what I was wearing even. I remember my parents bringing me here and standing on the steps to register at Marquee Hall, going to get an eating pass and some books and a few other things, and getting my room designation. I also remember meeting a number of students that day. One person I met that day, and I remember vividly, was the man who became my husband about 15 years later. I remember I wore a dress that day. I don't think I wore a dress after that for 4 years, but I do remember that. And I knew, as I said, 10 students who were coming, so it wasn't unfamiliar.
Did your feelings about being in the first class of women change at all in your first few days here?
Yeah, it was really odd. That it was a rather hostile atmosphere from the upperclassmen. I was the only woman in a couple of classes. We had heard that the men were who had been here, not the freshmen, but the others, had made choices not to date Lafayette women because they were ruining their school. They had come here to an all-male school and we were ruining their lives. There was something, there was a freshman handbook with pictures in it which got passed around from fraternity to fraternity getting marked up on who were the cute girls to date and who weren't. I found this pretty offensive, I've got to tell you. And so the book was called the Pig Book, but then it became known as the Hogue Book after the Hogue Hall here. So it was interesting that fraternities would be posting Hogue pictures and, you know, where the cute girls were roaming and such. It was really appalling. There was a period of time really early on where we were having a hard time studying because the boys were standing outside in the evening yelling, panty raid, panty raid, panty raid. Well, they never did anything. So a story I'm telling myself, and if you have a newspaper clipping for this, I wouldn't be surprised. You also have to keep in mind that I was one of the few girls who had been away for 4 years. So I wanted to study. This was not novel to me. I had slept away from home for 4 years already. And there was some noisy guys outside yelling, panty raid, panty raid, panty raid, not doing anything. So I called a meeting of all the girls in the dorm. And I said, well, who wants this to stop? I suggest we do a jock raid and put an end to it. So we went screaming out of the dorm through their drawers and threw jock straps all over the lawn, and they stopped yelling panty raid every night, and we got back to studying. Do you have a newspaper clipping on that, Amanda?
I don't have that one with me.
I'm sure it made papers.
Can you tell me about living in New Dorm?
Ah, you know it's called New Dorm. It's got a name now, I think.
Yes,
RuPaul. Yeah. Really interesting thing about New Dorm. One of the things that we noticed very early is that all the girls were in rooms with basically roommates the same size. So there were two tall girls and two short girls and two rounder girls. And I do remember also the black girls having roommates who were black. And so it seemed as though we had been put in with like, similar girls. And it turned out later on that they told us that some board of directors or dean or somebody had thought that girls like to swap clothing, and so that putting us in with someone the same size was going to be something girls would just think is swell. So our floor consisted, of a room with tall girls and short girls and so on. Anyway, it was terrific. My roommate and I stayed roommates for 4 years and 2 years after that, and we're still in contact. We had a very nice, varied floor. We all stayed pretty good friends throughout the Lafayette experience, and I'm still in touch with a few now. I loved it. It was great. One funny thing is that we were in a room that was right over the furnace, and so we had a hot room. And this is something I remember as, middle of winter, having our windows open, sleeping, just a t-shirt on. There's a hot room over there.
What was the dorm like in terms of regulations for male visitors?
Oh, Well, and that was something else that sort of happened in that early Panty Raid meeting. We were told that there were going to be, we were going to make our own rules. And we did have meetings to determine what the rules were. And I had taken the point, well, actually, early on, we had a, there was a sign-in and sign-out sheet. I mean, it was almost like my being back in boarding school, and I found it oppressive. There was a sign-out and a guard at the door, and you had to sign out and sign in. And, you know, it was not very free-feeling. It was, felt like we were under lock and key. And so I took the position, as did a lot of women who I think had been away and had been, were pretty secure in this, that if we have no rules, we're all going to be a lot happier to police ourselves and not have the feeling that we're in some kind of gilded cage. And so we voted among ourselves and it became no rules.
How much exposure to men then did you have in your first year here?
A lot, but they were mostly freshmen. The freshman men did not come here with the attitude that they were going to be in an all-male school. The upperclassmen still had a bit of a time. Some of them started coming around, but I think most of the women had fairly normal relationships with the freshman men and less so with the older guys. We also ate together. But as the women started to join fraternities as eating members, became more integrated into the community, it wasn't such a big issue. Clearly there were a lot more guys here than women, but we were taking freshman classes with freshman men, and it seemed pretty well to me. As I said, I had one class that was the only female. There may have been two, but it was unusual.
Can you describe a typical mealtime in Marquis Hall?
No, it was craziness. Well, it was cafeteria style, and food was, you know, pretty mediocre. we had a good time. There was a big push to join fraternities just to get out of there to eat well. And there was a snack bar in the basement, too, so you could have just a... I remember one of my friends had tab floats every day, which just always seemed kind of ridiculous to me, a diet soda and ice cream. But, so you could get your basic burger and fries and a shake in the basement if you wanted to. I remember it as being completely integrated, male and female. But again, those were all freshmen then.
And what did you do for eating your sophomore, junior, and senior years?
Well, my freshman year even, we formed an eating club on our floor. And a bunch of us put in $5 a week, which, you know, back then was real life money to buy groceries. And we cooked a couple of evening meals. There was a kitchen on every floor. And so even freshman year, we were cooking some of our own meals. By sophomore year, I had joined, along with my roommate and several other girls on the floor, a fraternity, one of the motels. I don't even remember which name it was. But they had a reputation for having a pretty good cook. And so we walked down there for lunch and dinner, and I think for breakfast we, you know, did cereal in our room. Everybody had a fridge. And after that, I lived off campus and we cooked in meals.
Would you say that the women generally stuck together?
Very much so. Yeah, we were good friends. Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't a us versus them kind of thing. It just was, we were a small community and we all knew each other. I mean, with only 100 women or so, it was easy to know everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
Were there any cliques among the women?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, you know, freaks versus cheerleaders. No doubt about that. And although, you know, the cliques were casually friendly to each other, there wasn't a whole lot of understanding between the two groups. There were those who had bras on and those who didn't. Sort of split right down the middle.
What kind of group were you involved in?
I didn't wear a bra. Yeah. I was definitely not one of the cheerleaders. But, I definitely came out of the more sort of freak, brainiac kind of group.
Were there any barriers between women based on race, class, religion, or sexual orientation?
Yes. The black girls hung together. Found that very strange because where I had gone to high school, there were not a lot of black students, but they did not hang together. It was much more integrated than when I came here. And as I said, the roommates were black girls, we were black girls, white girls, we were white girls. It was odd. It felt odd. The black kids had their own meeting house that was separate. And so it was almost as though there was a black fraternity and a black clique, and they did not, they were not well integrated into the community. Which is not to say I didn't have black friends, because I did. In fact, one of my best friends in later years was a black man here. But no, it was definitely segregated. And as far as sexual orientation goes, in those days, I don't think anybody even acknowledged there was anything but heterosexuality at the university. I mean, it just wasn't even considered.
What kinds of things did you do for fun?
Hung out. you know, I mean, there were wild fraternity weekends. I was certainly not one of the more drinking types, but everybody went. Everybody did. Went to the fraternity houses. And you didn't go to one specific one. You would, you know, sort of roll around all weekend from here to there, and wherever the best music was, you'd dance. Really, it was a time of hanging out, getting high, just really enjoying life and making friends, listening to music. Music was important. And it was a serious time. If the guys fell out of school, if they did poorly, they were going to Vietnam. It was a strange time.
What kind of music did you listen to, and how did that affect your experience here?
Well, big Grateful Dead fan. I used to go to concerts to see them whenever they were in the area. I liked rock and roll. I mean, it didn't much matter who's. I mean, my taste ran from James Taylor, Beatles, Dead, Pink Floyd, Fleetwood Mac. I mean, it was varied. Pretty normal for the time. I went to Woodstock before I came, so highlight of my life.
Would you say that the social life for women was any different than the social life for men?
Yeah, absolutely. The social life for men really was centered around the fraternity house, and I don't think the men went from fraternity to house to fraternity house. They were sort of stuck it with their own. I think the women roamed a lot more. The men drank a lot more. I mean, that's not to say that there weren't some serious drinking problems among the women. But there were very, very serious drinking problems with the men. There was a lot of alcohol on this campus. And an awful lot of the social life of the men here revolved around it.
Was there anything you were unhappy with at Lafayette in terms of your living space, eating, or social life?
I would have liked it if we had sororities back then, perhaps. Although it wasn't a necessity, it would have been nice to have a women's club, but on the other hand, that's what our dorm sort of was, because there were so few of us. No, it was a good time. It was a good education, wonderful friends. Yeah, pretty happy.
How did you feel about fraternities?
You know, I saw them as a necessity because Lafayette was so isolated from a real town or culture in any way. It's its own little world, and so without fraternities, I'm not sure how much social life there would have been. So I felt fine with them. I liked some more than others based on the population of people who joined. I liked the ones that were much more laid back and obviously didn't hang out too much with the jocks, but it was okay. And there were also two eating, not eating clubs, there were two social clubs that were non-fraternities, which were just a tad cooler, and I don't even remember the names anymore. But there were two of them that were the non-fraternity fraternities.
What were your experiences like living off campus?
We lived right across from what is now the Watson apartments. Those, by the way, were active, I think, our last year here, maybe the last 2 years. So we were pretty much on campus. I mean, we were at 107 McCartney, which is now a lawn. I don't think it was living off campus. We just happened to be in a house where we made our own meals and paid our own rent, but we were completely a part of the campus. I was closer to Pardee than many other students physically.
There was a lot of emphasis on the male-female ratio that supposedly would mean a lot of dates for women. Mm-hmm. Did that turn out to be true?
I don't think so. Again, as I said, there were a lot of upper-class men who were not interested in dating us for reasons that, you know, that we betrayed the situation that they had come into. They wanted to go to an all-men's school, and they got betrayed. It got a little easier as time went on. But I had a fair number of dates. They were good. But I mostly dated freshmen. Well, people when I was a freshman males, people my age. And I ended up marrying one.
Would you say it was important for women's social life that they have a date?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, absolutely. There was a tremendous amount of coupling off that. I think you were pretty lonely if you were not coupled. Yeah.
Many women who are here in the 70s talk about the fishbowl feeling. Do you know what they're talking about? Do you identify with that?
Well, mentioned the pig book, the hog book. I mean, that's very much how we felt. God forbid you had a bad senior picture taken and you were actually attractive. I mean, I think you're probably in real trouble then. I mean, there was that whole thing where they stood around and yelled panty raid. There were, in a class where you were one woman and many men, you felt odd, a little bit out of it. The women also ran a very much higher grade point average than the men. And there was a lot of resentment about that. I remember when the first semester was over and our grade point average was, you know, very high and the guys was quite low for the same class. There was a lot of talk of, you know, boycotting women, never date them, don't go near them because, you know, they're ruining life here. Yeah, there was that sort of feeling. And the moment our guys didn't pay much attention, I guess.
Would you say then that you ever felt disrespected by men here?
Oh, gosh, that's sort of a new concept, disrespected. No, I guess I felt more rejected and ignored. There were gross slobs out there, but I thought of them as individuals, not as a cluster of gross slobs. But I'm a pretty confident person, so maybe I was ignoring it.
In the spring of 1974, there were a few controversial letters and articles printed in the Lafayette. One news article on streaking stated, "Of course the opportunity exists for the women of Lafayette to streak, but that wouldn't be too unusual. After all, dogs have been running around the campus naked for years." In the same semester, a woman wrote to the paper complaining that a group of 10 Lafayette men had raided her as she passed them at lunch. A man calling himself Studley responded that she sounded like a six-year-old, that women's lib had no leg to stand on, and that 15% of Lafayette women were organ teasers. In later letters, he stated in a somewhat joking manner, after trying to seriously defend himself, "I'm all for women's lib as long as they're in the kitchen by 5. And personally, I love girls. Each guy should own at least 2 of them." Do you remember these incidents occurring? Are you surprised that they occurred in 1974? How would you have taken them at the time, and what do you think of them today?
It was a different time. Streaking is a separate thing. I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm not surprised, although I was unaware of all this, but then I was a senior that year, and I wasn't anywhere near Marquee Hall or where this incident would have taken place. I think similar things happened when I was a freshman, and I think that for the most part the women just ignored them and decided they were individuals with boorish behavior and they were just simply losers. And that's how they would have been treated as pariahs, not as some big, you know, social cause. It's interesting because at the time women's lib meant that we wanted an education. It was less focused on some of the issues that it's focused on today. We all wanted equal pay and an equal education, and you know, all the more sexual stuff I think wasn't as clearly dealt with as it is now. But the streaking thing was a whole other story. That was way much just a lot of fun. It was taking place on campuses all over America. It was on TV. I think the Emmys had a streaker that came through, or the Oscars, on TV. It was a joke. And the streaking that took place at Lafayette, as I recall, was an intercollegiate streak. I think guys came from other campuses and were on top of cars and running across campus. And as I recall, TV cameras showed up. And, I mean, it was just stupid. I don't think it had anything but fun attached to it. I don't recall any women streaking. I think we were all probably a little bit less drunk than the guys, so they probably wouldn't have done it. And you know, I just see it as a separate issue. The thing about rating the women I find disturbing. I find disturbing more now than I probably would have been. Then I would have just thought it was just individuals. This happened to my daughters. I'd kill somebody. I'm not surprised.
Do you still keep in contact with many of your male and female friends from Lafayette?
I keep in contact with my roommate. We're going to be 50 this year. And my doctor is one of my classmates. I'm in casual contact once in a while through email with a couple of others. I've been to a couple reunions. No, not really. I don't keep in contact with a lot of people from Lafayette. I'd like to. Just didn't happen.
Why did you choose to major in psychology?
I find people interesting. I find psychology interesting. I wanted to work with sick kids. I wanted to work with autistic children, which is what I did my last 2 years. I worked over at Allentown State Hospital, and I was in a program of doing that through Lafayette. I just find human behavior fascinating. And I have to say that if I were to go back and sort of start over, I think perceptual psychology is what I would have loved to have gone into. It's something I found fascinating. I like the department here. Great people.
What was the male-female ratio like in most of your classes?
Since I was in psych, I'd say it was maybe between 10 and 25% women in all my classes. I was not in engineering. Those women were only women in their classes for the most part. Very few were mathematics. But psych was very, very mixed.
How did you feel in the, I think you said you had one class where you were the only woman. How did that make you feel?
I felt awkward. I remember the class was opera. It was in the music department, which was kind of a puny little department at the time. And I felt awkward. I made a couple good friends who stayed friends for many years after that in that class. They were guys who did not hit on me. They were friends. And that was nice. So. I remember that really clearly as being an awkward situation, but not terrible.
How did most professors treat you?
All the professors were very welcoming, and they were terrific. One professor I had was really gruff and rather tyrannical, and I think he had spent years dealing with boys, and so he hadn't yet learned to tone down his manner for people who cried when they were attacked that way. So I think it was a learning process for him to deal with women as much as it was a learning process for us to have to deal with a behavior of a professor who was rough. Turned out to be pretty good friends, but it was a learning process for both of us.
Did you ever have any negative experiences in the classroom or with professors outside of the classroom?
No, not at all. No. Mm-hmm. I felt welcomed by many of the professors, and professors' wives, too. I worked for a while as a student intern with Planned Parenthood with two of the wives of English department faculty. Yeah, they, in fact, the wives, I think, were a very big part of making us feel welcome here. There were not very many women professors. I'm trying to even recall if there were any our freshman year. I don't recall any.
Did you ever have a female instructor at all?
I think two. I think English once and psych once.
Were those experiences any different than having a male professor?
No, no different. No.
Did you ever notice if the males reacted any differently when it was a female professor?
Boy, these are old brain cells you're trying to make me tap into. You know, I don't think so. But then my experience with female professors was pretty small. So no.
Would you say you had any mentors or favorite people in the faculty or administration?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the psych department was wonderful folks. Howard Gallup really made a large impact on my life. Somebody I really feel very affectionate for to this day. William Weiss, who was my advisor, who I was crazy about, he was also the shrink on campus. And he worked with me on my honors thesis about getting a counseling center built. That was what we wrote our thesis for, because there was no such thing at the time. And the other members of the psych department, Cy Weissman and a few others, I became close to, enjoyed them, felt welcome in their homes. could hang out in their offices.